Jesus said there are religious folks who wear a mask. They are actors or hypocrites. One day, God will demask all the people. All the righteous, all the unrighteous, everybody will be dismasked. No profession, no pretense, no performance, just truth. I believe America has kicked truth to the curb because they live by the standard, if it feels good, do it. They don't ask, is it true? They ask, how does it make you feel?
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Brother Mark preached from Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 22 in his sermon titled, God is Good. And now, Brother Mark.
We're in Romans still, moving on to chapter 2. I've entitled this message, The Goodness of God, Romans 2, 1, and we're going to look on through 24 this morning. I'm not going to ask you to stand on this scripture reading because it's lengthy, but open your Bibles and follow along as we read in God's Word. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. The goodness of God. Verse 5, but in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but they obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good. First to the Jew, and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For as many who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things that are in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written on their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Indeed, you are called a Jew, and rest on the law, and make your boast in God, and know His will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those in the darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having a form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob the temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through the breaking of the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. Let us pray. Father, I pray that you would take this passage this morning and let us see how great and good you are. Lord, you are awesome God. Lord, I pray that the word of truth would embed deep in our hearts, and that we might think on it and ruminate upon it, that we might not sin against you. Lord, your word is a light into our path and a lamp into our feet. And it's what we need for daily living. It's our roadmap. So Lord, I pray that we would take your word in and we would hide it in our heart. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church said, amen. God doesn't look on the outside. He looks on the inside. You know, when I was a kid, I always thought about Superman. And Superman had laser vision. You know, he could see through walls and stuff. And I thought, man, that would really be cool if you had laser vision and you could see through everything, you know. But then when you think about it, would you really want that? You know, that might be overwhelming. So, but God has laser vision. God doesn't see just the outside of us. He sees on the inside. He knows our thoughts afar off, the Bible says. He knows everything about us. He knows why we do what we do. He knows what motivates us. In Romans 1, God seen the heathen, and it talks about the heathen in Romans 1, the ones that he left over to their own sinful demise. And now here in Romans 2, God is going to talk about the hypocrite. Now there are religious folks who look down their nose at some sinners, never seeing their own sin because of the size of their nose, you know? And the devil, I believe, would rather send people to hell from a church pew than he would from just out of the world anywhere. We sometimes judge ourselves by looking at the lives of others. You ever do that? You say, look at them and say, Lord, I'm not as bad as they are. Kind of a comparison thing. But you know what? The comparison isn't to another person that will get you to heaven. The comparison is to Jesus that will get you to heaven. And Jesus was perfect. Jesus lived a sinless life, and he is our model. He is what we're after. And God requires perfection. And the only way that you and I can be perfect is through the blood of Jesus Christ, because he was the perfect sacrifice for us. There are church folks who will not go to church if those people are there. The devil is glorified in that kind of attitude. The theme in Romans 2 is judgment. In Romans 2:1 it says, you will be judged by the same standard which you judge others. Romans 2:5, you will be judged by what comes out of your heart. Romans 2:16, God will judge your innermost thoughts and secrets. The first point I wanted to make in all of this is that God is good because he judges according to his word. I'm so glad that God don't change. You know, that the mark of perfect, the mark of excellence, it never changes. It's in his word. It's written down. You can read it. You can know exactly what God requires of you. Romans 2:2, it says, but know that the judgment of God is according to his truth. Where do we find the truth of God? In the Word of God. And His Word is truth. The word hypocrite means actor. And in Jesus' day, actors would put on disguises. If they were supposed to be happy, they would put on a happy mask. If they were supposed to be sad, they would put on a sad mask. Jesus said there are religious folks who wear masks. They are actors or hypocrites. One day, God will demask all the people. All the righteous, all the unrighteous, everybody will be dismasked. No profession, no pretense, no performance, just truth. I believe America has kicked truth to the curb because they live by the standard, if it feels good, do it. They don't ask, is it true? They ask, how does it make you feel? Well, if we went by our feelings all the time, we would be in a sorry shape. Amen? Because we would be far away from the truth. God's standard is the Bible, and the Bible is truth from cover to cover. God gave us the Bible, and He called it His truth. God gave us His Spirit, and He called His Spirit the Spirit of truth. And God gave us the church, and He built the church on His truth. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, I write to you so that you may know and conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The church is built on the truth of the Word of God. God sent His Son to die for the sins of the world, and this is the gospel truth. John 3:1-4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Hypocrite thinks that the outward appearance is all that matters. They believe if they appear righteous, then they would be righteous. Matthew 23:25-28, Jesus had something to say to those people. He said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, and the outside of them will be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and uncleanliness. Even so, you are also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. He's addressing the hypocrites of the day, the pious and the religious folks, not the believers, the true believers, but those who were professing to be believers, but actually in their heart, they were far away from God. And we know people like that today. We know people like that today. And some people, it's not hard to tell that they're fake because they have no actions that go with their words. They may say one thing, but they do something completely different. If you're truly a believer, you will be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. You will actually have works that follow your belief. Romans 2:21-22 says, therefore, if you who teach another, don't you teach yourself? Well, you know, if you really want to grow in the grace of God, if you really want to learn more about God and more about His Word, just start teaching the class. You will learn more than the students, I'll guarantee you. Just start teaching the class. You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob the temples? Do you rob the church? Do you take money that would go to God and spend it on other things? You know, when I was thinking about this whitewashed tomb thing and the hypocrites that Jesus was talking to, I was thinking about a time when we were staying at the lake a lot and we'd fish a lot, and we had this refrigerator, this stand-up freezer it was, and it was full of fish. I mean, it was frozen fish. It was just packed full. Well, we was gone for a few days, and we didn't realize that it had quit. And when we come back, it was in August, and when we come back, we opened the door of that thing. It about like knocked you over. We shut the door and left all that stuff in there. And you know, we could come and we could clean the outside of that freezer and make it beautiful. But inside, it was still full of rotten fish. I mean, it was nasty. And that's the same of that Jesus was talking about, these whitewashed tombs. He said, on the outside, these tombs look really pretty. They're all whitewashed and pretty and everything. But inside, they're just full of rotten, decaying dead men. Many believe that we have not committed a lot of the sins listed in this verse. He's talking about stealing. He's talking about adultery. He was talking about idols. But if you really think about it, a lot of us have committed them sins, whether actually the act of, or Matthew 5:28 says, "But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman and lusts upon her has already committed adultery in their heart." We may have coveted something someone else has. We may have lied to somebody to get out of an issue, or so that we didn't have to do something that we was asked to do. We may have done something that was behind somebody's back in order that we might look better than they do. We may have taken something and put it ahead of God, which is called an idol. Could be, Ken and I was talking about camping. Could be camping. I know a lot of people, they get their campers and all of a sudden you don't see them anymore. They're gone. They don't come to church. Their camping becomes their God. And some people it's fishing. Some people it's hunting. Some people it's sleeping. You know, maybe they're sleeping in on Sunday and sleeping becomes their idol. But whatever it is, they choose to put that ahead of God. And God calls it sin. The blessing of God does not mean that a person is right with God, nor does the hard things in life necessarily mean that a person is out of step with God. Because the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust just the same. And so you really can't judge by whether people are receiving blessings or they're in hard times, whether they're living a life that's honoring God. Romans 2:3-4 says, "And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, of forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" You see, some people, God blesses them immensely that He might draw them to Himself. The goodness of God leads to repentance. And so, and God may bless us that we might stand and say, "God, You are awesome. God, You have blessed me so much," that it draws us to the place where we realize the sin in our life and we want to come clean. We want to be pure before holy God. I am so glad that God has a standard and God is good because He judges according to the truth of His word. You see, Sodom and Gomorrah was at the height of all, economically, at the height of their all-time high when fire and brimstone fell. God always judges according to the truth of His word, and that makes Him a good God. Secondly, God is good because He judges according to deeds. Romans 2:6. God will render to each according to his deeds. We're not saved by works, right? Least any should boast. But if we are saved, we should have works. We should be doing things for the Lord, right? The Bible says in Romans 1 that the entire world is without excuse before God. It don't matter whether a person is a Jew or Gentile. It don't matter if they're from Missouri or even Kansas. It don't matter your race or gender. You see, all people have to answer to God for what they did with Jesus and what they did for Jesus. Romans 3:23, "For all of us have sinned and fell short of God's glory." Many people think that God will grade on a curve someday, or that He uses a balance weight, that if you have enough good in this side and it outweighs the bad on this side, it tips towards the good side, you're going to make it. Well, that's not in the Bible. There's nothing in there that says that if your good works outweigh your bad works, you're going to make it. You know, everything you do is based upon Jesus. And after you have Jesus, you want to go and do work for Him, because He loves you and saved you. And so You do the works that Jesus called you to do because of what He did for you in salvation. Those pious religious folks here in Romans 2 measured themselves by the reprobate deplorables of Romans 1 that we read about a few weeks ago. You remember them folks? The ones God left over to their own debased mind. So they was comparing themselves to those folks. But listen, God don't grade on a curve. He's not going to, you're not going to get to heaven someday and say, well, I was much better than Joe down, or Jim or John down the street. I lived a much better life than they did. And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. You know, it's based on a relationship with Jesus Christ. James 2:10 says, for whoever shall keep the whole law yet stumble at one point is guilty of all. You see, none of us are good enough to make it to heaven. If you did every good work that was ever imaginable in life, you're not going to make the mark. You're not going to measure up. You're not good enough to get to heaven. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God demands absolute perfection, of which no one is capable of achieving, and that's why we need Jesus. And this is why we need the righteousness and holiness of God that can only come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Every person is going to be judged by their action. According to his deeds means according to your sins. This includes the sin of commission, that's sins that you commit openly. Sins of omission, that's the things that you're supposed to do that you don't do. Sins of the flesh, which are the sins of sexual nature, them sins that you do against your own body. And then finally, the sins of the Spirit, and that would be quenching the Spirit. And that is a sin too, that the Spirit is in you. And if you continue to do the things that you want to do and not what God wants you to do, you quench the Spirit. And that's a sin. So the sins just keep piling up, and they come at us from all different types and angles. The most respectable churchgoer without Jesus is just as lost as the worst criminal on earth. John 3:3, Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Every person is going to be judged by their attitude. Romans 2:7-9. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good to seek glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but they obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation, and anguish, on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The scripture is speaking of those who go to church, seeking God, and those who go to church to judge others or make themselves look better than others. Do you go to church to seek God? Or do you go to church so that you look good? Are you looking for Jesus? Or are you looking to put someone down? Thirdly, every person's going to be judged by their advantages. By their advantages. So you think, well, what kind of advantage do I have? Well, you may have had more advantages than somebody else. Maybe you've had more advantages than someone who lives in a country where there's not churches, where you cannot worship openly. And in Romans 2:9-11, it says, on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there's no partiality with God. You see, it was the Jew first because he had the greater advantage. He had the Word of God long before the Greek or the Gentiles had the Word of God. And they had the Old Testament, so they had an advantage to know God. And God holds every believer responsible. He says there's no excuse. In Romans 1, we read that and we talked about it. There's no excuse. Listen, if you're staying away from church because you've been offended, or you think it's a way of protesting against the church, you're not attending one of the other 25 churches within 30 minutes of your home, you will be judged for that sin. Listen, if you're staying away from church and you're listening to a live stream and you're able to go to church and be there in person, shame on you. This is against the Word of God, and you'll be judged accordingly. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 tell us that. It says, And let one another, in order to stir up love and good works, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. As we live and as we get closer to the end time, we need to come together more. We need to be together more. We need to fellowship more. And we need to love on each other more. And so we need to come together in the church and be as one. God is good because He's going to judge according to the gospel. Romans 2:16, in the day when God will judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which you also received, which you stand, and which you also are saved, if you hold fast the word of God which I preached to you, unless you believed it in vain. For I delivered to you first all of that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and God raised Him from the dead on the third day. That's the gospel. If the gospel doesn't save you, then it will judge you. The same Jesus who wants to be our Savior will be the same judge if you do not allow Him to be your Savior. John 5:22 says, for the Father judges no one, speaking of God, but He's committed all judgment to the Son. You see, Jesus is going to be the judge. And Jesus is going to say, I know you, or I never knew you. And that's based upon your relationship with Him. You're going to meet Jesus Christ one day, if you haven't already met Him. And you'll either meet Him in this life or you'll meet Him in the next life when judgment comes down. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And if the gospel doesn't save you, the gospel will condemn you. And no one will escape the judgment of God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ that is meant to save you is the same resurrection that will condemn you. And God will one day reveal all the secrets of all people. This verse speaks of secrets that's been repressed, sins that have been forgotten about and put away. One day God will reveal our heart. The Bible says God is keeping books containing every idle word, every thought, every deed. In conclusion, there are many today who are hypocrites. But they're not saved because they've led other people. There are many people who are not saved because of the hypocrites because they've led other people astray. They've told them false truths. Or they've twisted the truth in some way, shape, or form so that people are missing the true gospel message. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. There are many people who refuse to go to church because of the hypocrites in church. They say, I know them people down there, and they're just as bad as everybody else. I'm not going to that church. Well, let me tell you, the church is full of people who have sin. It's a hospital for sinners. And we need to come into the church, and we need to confess our sins. And we need to ask God to forgive us of our sins and be clean. And we have an advocate with Jesus Christ to the Father, so that we may be free of our sins and be pure and holy. If you let a hypocrite keep you from going to church and keep you from Jesus, then you will spend eternity with every one of them. So make your choice, you know. You can go to church with them now, or you can spend eternity in hell with them later. Romans 3:23 says, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all of us need a Savior. Every person needs a Savior. And you can call upon Jesus today. You can repent and turn from your sins and turn to Jesus and ask Him to forgive you of your sins and acknowledge Him as Lord of your life. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. In Romans 10:13 it says, for whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in Acts 16:31, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And of course, the most known verse of all the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, this morning, there may be someone that's never made a profession of faith. They've never come to you and asked you to come in and forgive them and be Lord of their life. And Lord, you say in your word that if we ask you to come in and forgive us of our sins, and we believe that you rose from the dead, and we confess you as Lord, that you will come and save us. And so, Lord, we pray this way. If you've never prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, this is the prayer that you pray to ask Jesus to come in. You say, Lord, I believe that you're God's Son. I believe that you went to the cross and died for me, and I'm a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I turn away from my sin. I repent of them. And I want to make you Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. And if you prayed that prayer just now, God's Holy Spirit has come into your heart, and you're now a child of God, and your destination for eternity has changed. You're no longer destined for hell, where there's fire and torment continually, but you're destined to live forever with God in heaven. The next thing that God would ask you to do if you prayed that prayer is to publicly confess Him before people as Lord of your life. And so we open up an open altar this morning. And if you've never confessed Jesus as Lord, you can come up here before these people, and you can tell them what you did in your heart, that you asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you, and that you want to let everybody know that He's in there. Maybe as a church member, the word that you've heard this morning, the word of truth, has convicted you. And you would like to just come forward and make a a profession that you would like to ask God to forgive you, and that you would like to rededicate your life and start living out a life that is holy and pleasing to God. Maybe God is speaking to you to join this church, and you've been reluctant, but you still hear His voice. And this morning we would welcome members, new members. Whatever it is that God is calling you to do, I pray this morning that you would let God have His will in your life. And we'll give Him all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. We're going to be singing page 280.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.